You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not gonna take it anymore. Senses not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
Welcome to hour number two of the Common Sense Show. This is Dave Hodges, your host, and we are the show that is freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Although you probably think you're listening to Darth Vader, I've got this respiratory stuff come to my chest, and I know I sound like Darth Vader, Luke, I am your father. And how you get around that as a talk show host is you bring on really good guests where you don't have to say a whole lot. Thank you, Doug Hagman. You were awesome in the first hour. And we have a terrific guest we'll get to in just a moment, Kate Daly, Fox News Radio and broadcasting also on The Blaze. And you're going to love Kate. Absolutely love Kate. And then the third hour, as a reminder, we have Bob Griswold, and we're going to talk current events and preparations that you should be taking for those current events. So I just got to get good guests. Hear that? Okay. Darth Vader voice. Here we go. Just want to remind everybody that we are sponsored by Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals. Steve is not just a really good friend of mine and a colleague. We have a real good working relationship. But I'm a customer of Steve's. I'm a customer of Renaissance. I bought his gold and silver, and I'm so glad I did, because I know someday the money that I keep on hand to pay my monthly bills, it's going to go to crap. Replace your soon-to-be worthless cash with Steve Quayle, Renaissance Precious Metals, 406-586-4842. Call tomorrow morning, 406-586-4842. And also, my good friend Bob Kudlow. Oh, man, this guy's so good. He has got to be the most innovative economist that I know. He's certainly one of them. We've talked to a number on this show. They're very, very talented, very knowledgeable. But anyone can make money today with $20,000, the stock market. But Bob Kudlow, he's going to get you through the tough times. And I've seen the evidence of it. He gets you to invest in what people need on a daily basis. And he is really, really smart. And I mean really. There's four reallys right there. I want you to go to his website. Check him out. Trade Genius, like Einstein, tradegenius.co. And do you think this market's going to keep going up? You know, what goes up must come down. And this is a lot like 1929, and I'm not trying to jinx this, but it sure feels like 1929 in so many different ways. Tradegenius.co. One more. Sponsor, Numana. You know, gold, guns, ammo, food, and water. Those are the essentials. There's more, but those are the things you absolutely have to have, because do you think the left is all of a sudden going to stop and say, oh, you guys won the election. We're sorry we've been so badly behaved. We'll go away now. No. No. In fact, Mike Adams said to me he wouldn't put it past them to do things like detonate a nuke, release a biological. These people are desperate. Their free trade agreements are in jeopardy. Their cheap labor supply through illegal immigration is in jeopardy. No. You need to be ready. Get the peace of mind that comes with having food preparation. And Numana, Mike Adams has done the studies on this, 12 different dimensions compared to other storable foods. Not even a comparison. Numana kicked their rear ends on all of those categories. How do you get in touch with Numana? Well, you do it through me. Numana.com/Hodges. And we have 5% off for the listening audience, because we love you so much. Coupon code Hodges, NOV5. Well, my guest, Kate Daly, she is awesome. I'm serious. I mean, you want to talk about two of the best hosts in the country that are on my show tonight, sharing with what's in their wheelhouse? These people are incredible. Kate broadcasts out of Utah, but she's not limited to Utah. She's in 24 markets. She broadcasts for Fox and for The Blaze, and I've been privileged enough to be on her show probably 5 or 6 times now. And Kate doesn't shy away from anything. and she's funny. She's articulate, but she don't pull any punches. And you're going to get to be real well acquainted with her, and you're going to want to listen to Kate on a regular basis when we're done with this hour. Kate Daly, thanks so much for joining us on this Sunday night.
Wow, with that introduction, my head's big. It's going to pop. I'm going to have to leave my studio. That was amazing. Thank you. It's so good to be with you, Dave, because I just had you on my show. I love having you on. It's always really fun to get together and then talk about what's happening, what's really happening, not what's being shoved at us in the propaganda arm of the government, but what's really happening. So I'm glad to be here. It's always a blast.
No, really, it is just a tremendous opportunity for us to have you on. Because you have so many high-profile guests, and you have so many controversial topics you cover, and you're in really what we consider the mainstream media, although I will say this, particularly like with Fox TV, Kate, I've noticed people like Sean Hannity, who I think has done just an outstanding job of fairly covering the issues, and I've even noticed Bill O'Reilly's turned a little bit more towards the middle, and so I've seen a decided move on the part of Fox to try to cover things fairly. Am I seeing this, or am I imagining it?
I don't know. See, to me, I'm seeing a little. The other day, I pointed out two different articles, one in CNN and one in Fox. And the problem with the media, no matter what media it is that they're getting their news from either the AP or Reuters. And Reuters is owned by Rockefeller, who sold to Thomson. Thomson has actually been in the media industry and has owned Canada and England forever and ever and ever. They're a very private family. You don't ever hear much about them, except that they were listed on Forbes as being one of the richest families in the world. But they have absorbed the media. So they're basically getting all their media from two sources. The AP is interesting because everybody that sits on the board is in the government here, or a globalist, or it's incestual. It's like gross. It's like incest, and it's they're all on each other's boards, okay? So you've got these two groups, and I know you know all this, so you've got the AP and the Reuters, and they are heavily, heavily controlled. In fact, Rupert Murdoch, who owns Fox, goes back and forth with Thomson family, and when they sold to the Thomson family, it was like, now who is that? Who is giving us all of our news and the agenda behind the byline of that? Who is orchestrating or printing the story? You know, what they want us to believe, is it good or is it bad? Because obviously that's what the firm does. But they do it in whole. They don't put it against each other. So you won't go to CNN, you know, and find the left, and you don't go to the Fox and find the right anymore. What's sad is that I put up two the other day, and I went over them on the air, and the both articles were very interesting because they had the exact same verbiage all the way down to the end. And it was funny to me to once again point out to the audience, oh my gosh, do you realize we get one byline? Sometimes they go their opposite directions, but it's seldom now. It's seldom. In fact, Fox is being really harsh on Trump, and every byline is a slant towards painting him badly, towards painting him and using the same verbiage as, say, the other side. And it's been really disconcerting to watch. So you've got these two media outlets that are providing all of the bylines for lazy journalists all over the world who don't want to have to scope out and write a story. They just basically can sit in their apartments and have the internet get a story in 3 seconds because the AP's already written it for them. And then all they have to do is change a few words, and that's what we get in our news. And if you really look at the headlines, it'll all be the same. So to me, it's so lazy now. It's just so lazy. And the journalists, like I played Dr. Udo Olkoff on my show, who passed away suddenly of a heart attack in January, who came out after 25 years of journalism over internationally and said, yeah, the CIA courts me for dinner, and then they get me into places I can't get into, and then basically they control my story, and then basically I'm told what to say, and if I ever say the truth, it's totally buried. The story's buried. I can't even, the story will never appear anywhere. And he suddenly died of a heart attack in January. I was going to try and get him on my show, and I couldn't. So it's people like that. I'm glad that these whistleblowers come out, but they're still so big, the CIA, in our media, that it's disgusting. And we need truth tellers like yourself. We need truth tellers out there. We need more of us, because there's not very many.
You know, have you heard, speaking of having more, did you hear about what happened to Mike Adams with Google?
Yes. You know what? This is getting scary. It's getting really scary because when the press came out after the election day, and you'll notice they never used the fake term before election night. So election night, when CNN was sitting there in tears and basically ready to implode into a gazillion pieces because they didn't know what to do with themselves because they weren't being fed the byline they thought they were going to get fed that Hillary won. So they staved off the announcement till 3 in the morning, it felt like. And I remember sitting there thinking, something's going to change here because the media has now been exposed. They were waiting for that byline. The byline never came over on their teleprompter to say Hillary won, and they freaked out. They didn't know what to do with themselves. And so the next day they started saying fake news, fake news, fake news. And here's the fake news saying fake news is out there. And I thought, oh, man, the onslaught that we're going to have to fight now to make sure that the audience is aware that, oh, my gosh, that the fake news is calling out the fake news or the real news and calling it fake news. I just thought, we're in a world of hurt, and things are going to come our way. And we have to be prepared for that, Dave. I mean, at every turn, I'm always prepared for what's coming down the pike next as far as what's going to try and silence us. You know, we always have the Congress, we always have Senate working on bills to silence the Internet. But I know for us, things will get harder because they don't like the Internet. This is the only thing that threatens the elite. Is people can find stuff out about them, and they don't like that so much. We're a little bit more informed than we have been in a long, long time. So,
Kate, there is an element there. I had a guy from the Kingman, Arizona area speak to me. I spoke at something called the Arizona Breakfast Club here some time back, and it's a group of activists, mm-hmm. and this man approached me after, and he talked about shortwave, CBs, and all these alternative communications that we're going to be talking about mm-hmm. in the third hour. And he said, Dave, that's your answer. There's your fallback position for what they're doing to Mike Adams. And I said, yeah, and I've asked him to write a guest post that I'm going to put up on the Common Sense Show, and I'll read it on my podcast.
Nice.
This is what people need to do. And I want to throw one more thing at you for you to react to.
Mm-hmm.
I think what people ought to do, I think about 10 to 20 million Americans need to go get a free website, and it's 10 minutes to set it up. You don't have to know anything about it. It'll walk you through, and it's real simple. And then
all
you got to do is copy and paste Mike Adams articles, or if you like something I do or anybody, mm-hmm. go ahead and put that stuff on your website. If there's 20 million of them, how's Google going to regulate that?
Oh, what a great idea. Such a great idea. You know, you're right. There's so many things that people can do that they don't realize. What if people flooded opinion pieces in their local newspapers that are all owned by, like, USA Today? I mean, let's face it. There's only 1,500 newspapers in the country right now that are not owned by a corporation, by the way, and told what to say. But still, you can write into the opinion. You can write into the editorial. You can do a website. You can do a blog. These things take no time. You can do them sitting in your basement. And what I like about it is that we have a lot more power than we think we do to affect this culture, because it's the culture that's coming down on us right now. It is the culture of the fact that we go ahead and abide by the outrageous leftist political correctness. If we say no to that, if we say no, we're going to affect culture in a totally different way, because I'll tell you, leftists only run about 24% of everything. They only represent 24% in our country. So the vast majority of us have not been taking the steps to speak out and do something about what's been going on with our culture and politics and calling out the right and the left, because they both suck. They're both terrible. And they both need to be called out. And what I'm saying is, look at the right, look at the left. Realize that there's no real aisle when you get into the Hill. The Hill thinks that we're crazy. I mean, that the Hill wants us to argue over right and left. But when they get to the Hill, up there, I know a senator that said, there's no right and left here. That's just to keep all of you guys arguing. So if we could get past this, open up eyes, do blogs, do editorial pieces for the newspaper, flood them, flood Facebook with things like, I remember once there was a city where somebody built a little house, you know, for their kids to play in out on the front lawn. And I said, okay, I said, why doesn't everybody in America go build a little house on your front lawn? Because these guys were going to jail for it. And I said, you know what? Flood Facebook with pictures of a little house on the front of your lawn to go out and show that we're, as a people, not going to stand for this. If we start affecting change that way, if we start kind of reversing this hideous culture that we've been handed, where transsexuals run the world and all of us are supposed to just stand by and let them, because we know there's not very many of them, but for some reason those laws are taking place and taking root and changing the culture of who we are and teaching our kids to think differently, well, we need to get out there and change culture as well. And we can do it, too. We honestly can, but we have to get louder, and it's not a comfortable place for conservatives to be. We're normally just kind of respectful, and we don't want to get in somebody's face, but we're going to have to just at least raise our voices, get blogs going, get information going, because I'll tell you something that's a big life lesson for me, and I talked about this on my show in Mainstream. I look at the most perfect example of teaching, and it was Christ, to be honest with you. And it was looking at the way he did it. And he did it in small groups. He affected change to whoever was around him. And he did it in small groups where he just started speaking and people started gathering. You don't have to hit millions of people to make a change, but you can influence your group. You can influence who's around you. And here he was the only one with a message, and he was the only one out there sharing a message to all of the people that lived at that time. And he had quite a task ahead of him. He had to do quite a job, right? Well, we have many voices, so we should be able to do 100 times, 1,000 times what he was able to do. And I think that if we can realize our power and do it within small groups, within our groups, within the very group that you associate with, you will affect change because they will go out and affect their groups. And we will be able to maybe change what's been going on in this country. I really believe that.
I think you're absolutely right. I think there's no question that people need to get off their duffs. And that's why if they knew every time they took down a Mike Adams that 5 million people or even 2 million people will stand up in his stead and start publishing his articles, then they would stop. That would be an avenue that would be counterproductive for them to do this.
Right. Exactly.
But then we need to go after their sponsors. And who was I talking to about this? It's jumped out of my head, but I've had a couple of conversations like that. Let's go after their sponsors. And I think it's time. I mean, you know, Google needs to be called out. You know, Google, I don't know if you know about this or not. I'm sure you do. Google is tied in with Amazon. And they do all this cross-promotion, cross-partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, Amazon and Jeff Bezos, he owns the Washington Post. They just solidified a deal that started 3 years ago, a $600 million deal with the CIA. So much for objective journalism. Do you know about that?
It's gross. Oh, yeah, I do. I did a whole show on it. I'll tell you something. There's a reason that Katharine Graham's family gave him the post, because there was a couple people vying for it. But they knew that they could, that he would do whatever the elite wanted him to do. Katharine Graham, if you go back in the post, she was the poster girl for Operation Mockingbird back in the 1950s, in the early 1950s and late 40s. It was the very first operation that the CIA had. And guess what? It was to infiltrate the media. And so what's interesting about this is Katharine Graham and her family owned the Post, and so she was like the poster girl, because she was the one that said, that's okay, we'll let the CIA into the Post, no problem. And they loved her for this. The CIA was able to enter, and back in the 70s, I don't know if you remember the 70s, back in the 70s, they had the hearings, the Senate hearings, where CBS had to admit, and I have it on tape, he had to admit that the CIA was in the media. So when Bush Sr. became president, Bush Sr. made a special announcement that the CIA was out of the media voluntarily. He didn't say they weren't going to get paid. He just said they were out voluntarily. And I thought that was kind of interesting, because, of course, they're still in there. Now, Jeff Bezos does this thing with the CIA. He's very tied in. And we know, you and I both know, Google and Facebook and all of these were seeded by CIA money, right? CIA investment money. And so, if it's very interesting how corrupt I think the backdrop of all of this really is, that they shut out a nice person in front to say, oh, aren't they a great entrepreneur, just so young and naive, like Mark What's-His-Bucket, I can't remember his last name, for Facebook, and then you have Jeff Bezos, who looks like this total just young, just entrepreneur on fire, and I'm thinking, no, he'll do whatever the government tells him to do, whatever the CIA tells him to do. He's so in bed with them, it's not even funny. And now his whole focus is on this space program. You know, I got to get people into another planet, or we got to move all the bad companies over to another planet. It reminds me of sending the dog to the farm, you know. You know, little doggy's going to go to the farm. He's going to live this great life. I'm sure they're going to send people off into the unknown. We'll never hear from them again. We'll think they're having a great life. But Jeff Bezos is doing everything he can monetarily to turn his direction towards space now. And it's kind of creepy, to tell you the truth, Dave. It's really weird what
you've
got
to wonder
there.
About ulterior motives. What do you think it is?
You know, I actually think it's kind of like sending the dog to the farm. You know, if they can get rid of all these people, somehow, some way, they have to figure out how to depopulate, because he's talked about it, Gates has talked about it, India just threw Gates out because they don't like what he's doing with the vaccine program. They think it's sinister. And so I think that's kind of funny, actually. I think that is really telling, to tell you the truth. So you've got all this depopulation that's got to happen. I don't know. I don't know if it's just him being bored, or if it's just him trying to plant this seed in the Americans' minds, like, well, you know, we'll send people off into this unknown territory. We'll never hear from them again, but we're sure they're having a great life, kind of thing. I have no idea. It's kind of bizarre, because if to get to the technology to even do that, it would probably take over 400,000 years for us to even be able to do this. But if you'll notice, it's always in the news right now. It's very bizarre. And I've really been trying to get down to the bottom of it, because I think it's so weird, to tell you the truth.
You know, there's a lot of us that have had this discussion privately. The quote-unquote ET UFO issue, civilian space travel issue, those three things that used to be verboten, you would never hear about them, are now beginning to creep into the mainstream media.
I've noticed this. That's how strange it is, Dave. I feel like a weird universe. Yes, and I think it's kind of bizarre. They keep kind of planting these seeds and alluding to things. Like, I swear I should have a segment of my show, like, what Bill Gates is telling us about the future. Because every time Bill Gates talks about something, I think it mysteriously happens. So Bill Gates is now talking about how, this big disease is coming, and you know, maybe 30% of us might disappear from this disease. And I always find that a little weird. I find the space travel thing a little bizarre. Gates said in about 10 years, about 30% of us will probably be dead because of some disease. It's just bizarre, all the stuff that they're talking about in the news right now. And I honestly don't know if it's boredom or if it's really sinister and nefarious. And I joke about it with my husband a lot, because I'm like, you know, yeah, I don't think I'd be jumping on any spaceship anytime soon. But you'll notice we have more and more films about it. Have you noticed that? This last couple of years, more and more films about space travel.
There's a show on USA Network, and I'm kind of enthralled with it, and not because of the alien issue in the show, and you never see them. The aliens come, they conquer the Earth, but they put humans in charge of humans, and the repressiveness was everything that Adolf Hitler ever dreamed of. It's unbelievable, and that's what fascinates me about the show. We're seeing martial law on steroids, but there's this alien backdrop, and what they do, if you're really, really bad, they don't just send you to a FEMA camp, and they call it a labor camp. They put you in a rocket ship, and you don't know what happens to them when they get there, but they send them into outer space to the aliens, to something called the factory. And the whole time you were just telling this story, I'm reflecting on this show. It's fascinating if you want to see martial law technology style. You know, there's an episode from the old Twilight Zone, and I used to watch the reruns when I was in college. And there was an episode where this alien came, and he was giving great gifts to the people. They could grow food where you couldn't grow food and so forth, and good technology. But then they let people go on these voyages. And the show was called The Cookbook. And this one guy who made first contact, his secretary is trying to warn him as they're shoving him in the spaceship. It's a cookbook. And they sent him up there to eat them. So you're taking me back to some fond science fiction memories. But yeah, the fascination of these private people. Who's the guy out of Vegas? His name jumps out of my head. He's into all this, too.
Yeah, there's a lot of them. And they've even warned us. They've even warned us and said technology's getting way ahead of us. I mean, it's really getting out there. And, you know, they just made robots citizens in the UK. And I find that a little scary. I don't know what the future is going to hold, but I do know that it's going to be harder and harder to be off the grid. I do know that we're going to be thinking about space a lot more because we're actually getting this just shoved in our faces all the time with mainstream right now. There's a reason they're doing it, and it could be a distraction so that we're not focusing on what's really going on. I don't know. But in order for them to even do stuff like that, they're going to have to, the technology, everything, I don't even know if we'll be here by the time they actually do anything with this. Either so it's a distraction or they're bored, I'm not quite sure. But it's always funny to watch them because they always come up with something kind of new, and this seems to be the thing. Bezos is dumping a lot of money into it. I mean, a lot of money. And I think I think he looks a little crazy doing it, to tell you the truth. His space company is called Blue Origin, and he is spending a lot of money. And he's been doing it for a long time. So whenever I see somebody like that, whenever the media is telling me something, I always go the other way. Because I always know that it's either the distraction or it's fake news or it's false news, and there's usually only a nugget of it. I had an agent once, because I was doing the Oprah show and I was doing a bunch of TV shows, and he said, you know, the National Enquirer is very real because every single story, there's a nugget of it of truth. Otherwise, they couldn't print it at all. So there's always a nugget, and they just take it different directions, and that's exactly what the media does. They might take something, a nugget, and then they completely go the other way. So I'm always curious when I look at the mainstream news, I always go, okay, what does the elite want me to buy into today? What do they want me to know today so that I can either be distracted or, you know, or I don't know what it is. It's entertained by them. But
they have their agenda.
I always find it strange.
Yeah, I was interviewed 3 days before the general election by the New York Times, and this guy was basically pushing the theme that websites like mine will encourage people to riot, murder, and maim if Donald Trump doesn't win. And it's kind of funny. We're seeing just the opposite on the other end. And we got to the end, and I disavowed all this nonsense. I said, no, about the rule of law, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, I get to the end, and I said, I just want you to know, we did this interview on Skype, and the whole thing is recorded. Mm-hmm. And he goes, you did what? I said, I recorded it. He goes, why? I said, because I don't trust your paper. And I said, no offense to you personally. You've been very polite. But you're trying to push me in a direction to say things that I'm not comfortable saying because I don't believe in them. Yeah. I don't espouse violence. And that interview never appeared.
Really? Interesting.
He asked me how I was going to use the tape. And I just said, well, I hope my lawyer never has to see it.
Ooh, I like that, Dave. Very proactive. That's awesome.
But it was my good friend, Mike Adams, that advised me to do this, Kate.
Really?
They tried to ambush him with the Washington Post, and then Mike said, Dave, you'd better watch out. Better tape these things. And I said, yeah, that's a good idea, Mike. So I gave the guy my Skype number. And that's where get everything on the record, because these people, when they talk to you, they have an agenda about the story they want to write.
I so agree with you. You know, I talk a lot about BLM issues because I'm down here in the area that the Bundy Ranch took place in 2014. And these guys, I mean, what a joke this trial is right now, and the one in Oregon was, because these guys didn't do anything. They haven't really done anything. That's why they let a lot of the guys off on trespassing, because they knew they didn't have a case. And, of course, the FBI guy in charge in Oregon was removed because they lost the case. Remember, the not guilty verdict, because the judge in the courtroom said, basically, that constitution is not welcome in my courtroom. You can't read that. It's old, and nobody wants to hear from that anyway. Yeah, she's a piece of work. So Anna Brown, she's the judge in Oregon. So I went to Oregon, and I spoke on truth in media. And I spoke on the fact that what media does and how they skew the stories and how they skewed this one. Because the murder of Lavoie Finicum and all of this, I'm friends with his family, and I'm telling you that was an out-and-out murder. And I don't know if maybe that's why Greg Bretzling was dumped from the FBI. He's on a security team now, by the way, that works overseas internationally. That's really scary. But this guy has been involved in a lot of scandals. And what I found interesting was the minute I was finished with my speech, and I literally looked at the mainstream media in the room as I was speaking, as I was talking about them and telling them to tell the truth or get out, because if you can't tell the truth, you should not be in this profession. And the second I did, I talked to them and ended my speech. They tweeted out, mainstream newspapers tweeted out that the event was all about hating the media. And how I hated the media, and how I was just mean. And I sat there and I said, you know what the problem in America is that people do their jobs and they throw each other under the bus, and they do it all in the name of doing their job. And how incredibly awful this is in our country, that just for maybe a little cash, like an informant, or a little bit of notoriety, or maybe climbing the corporate ladder, the judge wants the next step up, you know, up the food chain, or the cop wants the arrest, even though the person's not guilty, or whatever it is. It could be an IRS worker, that we do things for our jobs because of the security of our jobs, and we're willing to throw each other under the bus to do it. And I said, because it takes a lot of people in that food chain to keep these guys in prison and to keep these guys without bail for a year and all of these things. There's a lot of people involved in this to do this. And they all know that these guys are innocent, that they didn't do anything. They haven't hurt anybody. They never even fired a shot. They never even brandished a weapon. Nothing. And these guys are in jail for a year, year and a half, actually, by the time this thing is over. And I look at that and I think, the media doing what they just did, couldn't be honest for 5 seconds, and then the situation where we in America have a problem, and that is we love our security so much so, and we want a little piece of it for ourselves, a little piece of that action and American dream for ourselves, that we're willing to do that to each other. And it's sick. And we have to check ourselves. We have to be able to walk away from that. That's what that whole speech was about. And what did they get out of it? That we just hate the media, and that we're mean to the media. And I was like, wow, that's all you got out of the entire speech. Because I said, the media has to fall. It should fall. Because the only industries that don't fall, Dave, are the media and banking. And because we've let them continue on with all the heinous things that they've done through the recession, the banking, and the media through all of these decades of not telling the truth, because they don't fall, they'll never improve themselves. They'll never have to work from ground zero back up to reinvent themselves to make sure that they're maybe doing some better things. And that's to us. We're not making sure that happens. And so those two industries, they really do have to fall in order for us to be a better country. I do believe.
Well, you believe correctly. The problem is how do you get it done? The American people don't get it. There's a chart in a sociology book, a Social 101 book that I used to teach from, and the chart is explicit. It shows the American dollar from 1789 to 1913, and there's ups and downs, but basically a dollar was worth a dollar from 1789 to 1913. And then speaking of banking and the demise, from 1913 to today, they show that the dollar is now worth about 3.5 cents. So you look at that and you go, here this is in a mainstream publication undergrads can see. And Kate, the average person has no clue. I mean, these people, if they were a manager of a baseball team or a coach of an NFL team, they'd have been fired a long time ago.
I know. And they don't fall. That's our problem. They don't fall. And as long as people are taking orders without any responsibility, and as long as people are doing those things just to get ahead, without thinking about the overall toll, you know, everybody always thinks, and this goes for people in banking, this goes for people in the media, they think, well, if I just print this one story because the CIA wants me to, print it this way, with this byline, or the guy at the bank, or what have you, whatever occupation we're talking about, and they say, well, that's not going to do a whole lot, it's just going to get me where I need to go. If we all stopped doing that, we'd be so much better off. You know, I did a whole show once, a whole hour on how to train a guide dog for the blind. You know why? Because when they train a guide dog, Dave, they take an entire year because they have to teach the dog to think for themselves, not to just take orders. And that's very difficult to do with a dog. If the light says that the person can now cross the street, but the dog sees something coming, the dog has to then go against its nature to take the order from the blind person to cross the street and basically pull the blind person back off the curb and say, no, you can't cross right now, okay? There's a whole element that goes into teaching these dogs because it's so against their nature. They like to take the order. And when you teach a dog to think and reason and the way a human would, it's amazing what can happen with these dogs. And they're actually taught to do this. And it's a very specialized training. And I thought about this because I thought about what we do with our kids. Are we teaching them to think? Are we teaching them to say, no, I don't like what you're asking me to do. I'm leaving this job. No, I don't like what you're saying to me, adult. This doesn't sound right to me. I'm walking away. We teach them to just go along and just to keep saying yes. And a lot of people are doing this in their careers. We have a lot of people with whatever occupation we're talking about keep doing this. You have people in law enforcement that do this. You have people in military that are trained to do it this way. And they're trained to never stand up and say, that goes against my beliefs. It goes against everything I stand for. If we had more thinkers in this society and more people that stood up and said, no, I am not doing it that way, you and I both could be a mainstream media personality. And guess what? It's super easy and we'll be paid a lot of money. But you and I are taking the road less traveled, and that is to tell the truth. And there's not a lot of money in it. And I'll tell you something, it's a tougher road because you can't get the breaks that you could that if you were in the media just following orders. But we're going to have this to save this country. If we don't all start collectively thinking for ourselves and standing up to the evil that's in this world and saying, I will not be a part of that. I will not do that to my fellow man. Because the people that come and take your guns and take your food supply, they're going to have to come from here. They're going to have to come from somewhere unless we bring in foreign people. And those people are going to have to go against their fellow man. When I look at what happened at the BLM and I listen to the tapes of the BLM officers telling the camera and laughing about picking off innocent protesters that were just standing there fighting for their land, and how they were laughing about them and thinking that it was so funny that they could actually start shooting them and be totally okay. They would have actually probably all gotten raises for it. My heart sank. And that's why I did the show on the blind dog. I said, you know, we have to, as a culture, understand that we have to start thinking. And I mean really thinking for ourselves and saying no, even if you lose everything. Even if it means your life, you have to get to the point where there's a line drawn. Otherwise, we're screwed as a country because we keep just throwing it.
Kate, did we lose you? Uh-oh. Hello, Kate? Okay, me and my Darth Vader voice better start talking. Todd, let's go ahead and try to get Kate back on here. I heard the signal start to fade. Just let me know when you have her back here, and let me pull up our prompt sheet here. Stay with us, everybody, because we'll get Kate back. We always do. Anyway, what Kate's saying, her call to arms, is totally correct. And this is a good time while you're listening to me, is go to Mike Adams' site at naturalnews.com, sign that petition, and please, please, please go to goodgopher.com. It's Mike's search engine, and put down free website. And what you'll get... Well, Kate just texted me, so here, let me take a moment away from this thought here. And I'm letting her know by text that we're trying to call her.
So are they listening again? You know what, Dave? I just want to welcome the NSA to our conversation today.
I was just texting you.
We need to formally welcome them. Dave?
Okay. Well, I'm glad we have you back. I would like to say this is a rare occurrence on this show, and it never happens, but we tried to interview Ammon Bundy, and this is before all hell broke loose and they murdered Finucane.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We just came on the air. Now, my show's carried East Coast, West Coast, different satellites. Okay? Global Star has a huge reach. And we were gone. Our listen by phone option, which is unrelated, was gone. Nothing would work. Nothing. It was a total takedown of our network. And so we got around it, though. The very next day, I did a pre-record with Ammon by Skype and didn't announce it, and then we were able to get it on. But we've been there before, and usually the takedowns are a little more subtle, like with what happened with you. But they've been on for the full enchilada here. But anyway, you're back, and you were giving a call to arms.
I
totally agree.
We need to welcome them, Dave. At the beginning of every show, you really ought to welcome them to the conversation, because we know they're listening. So welcome, NSA. Welcome to everybody listening that wants in on this. I just think you should, I honestly do think you should just welcome them in, because I just think it's funny. I have a tagline on my show that says, you know, if the NSA is listening, we may as well be entertaining. And it's true. I really do think so. They don't like conversations like this where we're talking about people saying, no. And I'll tell you, I've interviewed the Bundys too, and it's been interesting, some of the complications I've had in getting people on the phone. I do about 400 guests a year, and it's pretty insane. But you know what? We keep fighting, right, Dave? And that's what we do. It's all about the fight. You got to just keep doing what you're doing, and it never can be about money, or it can't be about anything except always concentrating on the truth. And that's what I do, that's what you do, that's what makes your show so great, is the truth. Because you know why? The truth, once you hear it, you can't unhear it. There's something inside of us, there's that little voice inside of us that says, you just heard truth. And then I don't think you can be convinced otherwise. I really don't.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. And I do think people have that sixth sense. They know when they're being lied to, and they know when they're hearing real stuff. But you know what the other side doesn't realize? A couple of things, NSA guys who are listening. You got kids?
Mm-hmm.
You have kids who are NSA guys? How about those vaccines they're taking? You know your kids got autism? And how about the fact that you get spied on when you leave, too, your Vizio TV? I mean, come on, NSA, how about that? And by the way, when they start to depopulate, do you really think you're going to have a seat at the table? You think you're going to go a mile underneath Denver International Airport and be safe?
Exactly.
You people are morons. You people who are doing this crap, you're absolute dumbasses to think that you're going to get away. You're going to be treated just like the rest of us. And you know, Kate, here's what's amazing. The elite are so stupid that they think because they do that to Mike Adams, we're all going to, oh, gee, I better be good, and I don't want that to happen to me. No, it's pissed us off. We're going bananas on this. I almost said a bad thing on the air, as if dumbass wasn't bad enough. But the reality is here, Kate, is I'm enraged. Doug's enraged. He's going to have Mike Adams on his show. We're not letting go of this. I mean, it just woke us up even more.
Yeah, we're going to have a lot of waking up to do. I think one of the things I talk about a lot is our history, so that we can understand things like why was global warming, how did global warming get incorporated into our society as human cause, and where did the EPA really come from, and start to question not only the government as a whole, what they do in our name, because I'm never down on America. I'm only down on those that seek to corrupt America with the power that we've given them. That's what I'm against. And I think America and Americans are amazing, and I think that we have an amazing country. We always have since its inception, and we've had such a gift. But those that do things in our name, we need to understand who they are, what they're about, and what they're actually doing. And I think that we don't do that enough. We don't talk about that enough, and they're able to hide in the shadows. And it's not fair to us, because sometimes people, like when I speak out, they think, well, you don't love this country. You're kind of one of these people that say, you know, I don't even know what they call us, but it's kind of like those that are, you know, gloom and doom about America. Oh, no, I love that Constitution, and we need to get back to the Constitution. But I want to save America, because I know the people really do want that, and we're really a great people, kind and caring and good people. But it's what the government's doing. We have to be able to see the government for what it is. We have to know that. Let me give you an example. Town halls. you're going to see more and more news about politicians fearing for their life. You're going to see more news about town halls being canceled because of this, mostly on the GOP side. Now, I've always been a Republican, okay, and I'm a total conservative. But what I'm noticing is they want scapegoats so they don't have to visit with their people face-to-face anymore, because it will remove a layer of accountability and protection for them. And you're going to see it in the guise of, oh, we have to keep them safe, so we can't have this. Even though a life really hasn't been threatened, they're coming at us with a solution of, nope, no more town halls. We just can't do it. We can't put people in danger. And I'm going, who's in danger? People that stand up and from the other party that come, they're not doing anything but speaking out, so that's not danger. But we're going to see more of this. We're going to see less accountability. We have a Republican House and Senate right now, and you're going to see nothing really going through because they've complained about everything for 8 years, but they're not going to do anything about it, and they have to be able to get away with that right now. And there's a lot of bad seeds in the GOP. I don't agree with how a Democrat thinks, and I obviously can't even understand or wrap my brain around how a liberal thinks, because I don't think that way. I'm not crazy. I'm not a lunatic. So I don't think that way. But us conservatives, true conservatives, are going to have to really stop and say, this side that we've always thought was doing well is not doing well. And we're going to have to stand up for that. And it's going to be tough, because you're going to feel...
Oh, boy. Here we go again. Todd, do your magic. They don't like the call to action stuff tonight. NSA stuff, who's going to cry for you when they come for you? You know that little poem by Martin O. Miller? You know, they came for me and there was no one left to speak? That's who you are. You people sitting behind there and doing this stuff to the shows, and you think you're really disrupting the message. You know what you're showing my listening audience by doing this? You're showing my listening audience how really rude and uncivil you are. How much you hold the Constitution and free speech in disdain. This is what you're showing my listening audience. And we see this in a lot of our leaders. You know, the deep state. You know, the deep state is embedded in things like the NSA and the FBI and the CIA. And they're the ones who are protecting, should I say Pizzagate? Okay, Pedogate. I like that better. And I like Doug Hagman's term a little better. I like the Pedogate comment. But this is what the NSA is into. Okay, I was just chastising these people once again, talking about their illegitimate lineage. So go ahead, Kate. Pick it up where you left off.
No, I probably went on too long. Obviously, thank you. I'm back, NSA, so you can relax. Let me just say that we have a lot of homework to do. Not only do we have to get educated, we have to get inspired to act. And we have to get inspired to stop throwing our neighbor and under the bus and stop throwing each other under the bus, because we as a whole, and I'm talking without violence, you don't need violence to do this. We as a whole, the more educated we become a force to be reckoned with. That's what we have to do. And we have to get educated to do it. So we've got to know our history, a true history. And we have to be able to act on that and call people on their junk. Call people on their stuff. Call your elected representative on their stuff. I actually had a local representative from the government say to a town hall just recently, I just vote whatever way the lead establishment in the state wants me to vote. And if I know the guy, I'll just vote for his bill without even reading it. Because we need to be on the right side of leadership. And I just about went, you've got to be kidding me. You're actually admitting this in public.
You said this at a public meeting? Really?
Yeah. I live in a conservative state, and that's how dumb these guys are. So I just thought, you know what? We have to start locally, then you have to go to your state, and you have to make sure you're electing good people that love the Constitution and are willing to say no, like a Justin Amash. He's a great example of a really great politician, because he says no to everything.
Here we go again. Whenever you hear that little sound at the end, did you hear that? That means they're taking Kate down. They didn't want her to mention that guy. This is unbelievable. Well, let me take a minute here before we get Kate back, and I'll tell you what's coming up next week, and we'll get Kate back, excuse me, for some final thoughts. We're having a great show next week. We're going to have Joe Hagman, and Joe and I have talked earlier this week, and things are going to develop, but I kind of know where this is going, and we're going to be talking about deep state stuff. guess what we're having the second 2 hours? Hope you're sitting down. Robert Steele of the CIA. Oh, now it's interesting. I'm hearing dial tone in the background. My voice is echoing back to me. Boy, they got all kinds of neat little special effects, don't they? I love it. I love it. Anyway, Robert Steele, CIA. He reached out to me at the urging of my friend Doug Hagman. And can't wait to have him on. We're also going to have a guy on, I'm hoping in 2 weeks. He doesn't know I'm inviting him on yet, but well, he does. We've talked about it. He used to be connected to Hollywood, and he could tell you all about pedophilia.
Well, this is getting weird, Dave.
It is. I got the promo next week's show, so that's okay. Anyway, let's go back to Kate. Before you get cut off again and we run into the end of the hour, let me allow you to educate my audience on how they can follow your good work, because your show is awesome.
Oh, you got it. Thank you, Dan. I really appreciate you, too, and you do good work. I love what you do. They can go to katedallyradio.com, KateDallely, like Valley with a D. So katedallyradio.com, and you can look at all the podcasts and all the guests. We have different guests on every hour. I have a three-hour show every single day, and it's going to be, we're hitting some really major cities. We're in Chicago right now, and Tampa, and Denver, Salt Lake, all kinds of places, but we're really going really wide in about 30 days. So it'll be even bigger. But I'll tell you, katedallyradio.com is the best way to reach me. You can also email me at kate@katedallyradio.com if you have questions or guests for the show. I always love that because you and I, we don't work with a large team of producers and things like that because I have to know all this information inside and out or I couldn't do it on the air every day. So I spend about 4 to 5 hours a day studying. It's a lot of work, and well worth it to me, though. I do love it.
It is a lot of work, Kate. You know, Kate, this reminds me, there were two of the times that I've been on your show, and I remember the first time, and I warned you. I said, Kate, this is so controversial that we're going to probably be taken off the air. And it happened, not once when I told you that, but twice. Do you remember that?
I do. I was freaked out, I remember thinking. And we did. We came back on and we said, hello, NSA. Maybe we didn't say hello when we first started. We apologize. But I love it. You know what? You and I both have opinion Tourette's. I call it opinion Tourette's because we can't stop speaking out. And they don't like that very much. And so that's okay that we get cut off.
I love that phrase, opinion Tourette's.
Yeah, I can't stop. Yeah. It just comes out.
FCC comes after me for my dumb comment, I'll just say I had opinion Tourette's. I couldn't help myself.
Exactly. It saves the day. I have opinion Tourette's when I go to town halls, you name it. Nobody wants to sit next to me. I'm awful at parties, too. I don't get invited anymore.
You know,
I can't
this is
shut
funny.
Up about it.
This is funny. I took on a sponsor called BeCandid.com, and it's where people can go and do electronic postings without being known who they are. And I can tell you, I can relate to this. I've lost employment, and listen to this, I kid you not, I lost a long-term friendship. I mean, we were talking great friends, and his wife woke up one day and decided she didn't like my show.
Oh,
and,
wow.
Oh, yeah, he kind of saw me on the side for a while, but, you know, and this is what we face. People don't understand that. We get chastised like you wouldn't believe. Well, Kate, we're out of time, and this has been so much fun. I mean, I don't remember when I laughed so hard through an interview in between the interruptions by the NSA. Again, please give out your website so people can find a home base to follow you from.
Yes, it's the Kate Dally Show. It's katedallyradio.com. And the links for my Blaze Show are there and also my live show. So katedallyradio.com, and you can find the link to listen in your city. If I'm not in your city, you can listen to foxnews1450.com.
It's awesome. I mean, it's a great show. Now, you're on 24 in 24 markets right now, and you're soon going to be adding 13 more. Is that right?
We're in 10 markets now, meaning Chicago, which is number 3 in the market.
Okay.
So Chicago, Tampa, Miami. But we go to 13 more, like Boston and Philly and San Francisco and L.A., coming up in 30 days. Yeah.
And, Kate, we got to go. We're right up against it. Thanks
Thank
so
you.
Much. We'll see
Appreciate
you guys.
In,
great, Kate. We'll see you in hour number 3 with Bob Griswold.